It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is said about General Stonewall Jackson that he never went into battle without prayer. And after victory, he publicly gave thanks to God. Well, Stonewall Jackson was a strength and an encouragement to his fellow soldiers. And you and I, and you know, you may never have thought about this as a Christian, as a saved person. You and I are in a battle. And we look to certain individuals to give us strength. And of course, our real strength comes from God Himself. But as we look into the Word of God, we find a person who was a soldier. And we can actually draw strength from his testimony of the things that he did in his life. And I'm speaking of Paul the Apostle. Now, what we've been studying is Philippians chapter 1. As I look in Philippians, I see Paul the Apostle. He was a prisoner. He was in Rome, and he was in chains. But yet, he still witnessed for the Lord. And as we read, we find out that Paul the Apostle, no matter where he was at, he was giving honor and glory to our Savior Jesus Christ. And as a result, many people got saved. Many people will be in heaven because of Paul the Apostle, a soldier for Christ. He was a soldier. And as we look at his life, we understand that as being in the service of the Lord, he was obviously wearing the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the girdle of truth. Now, as we think about this, we too need to put on these things that God has supplied for us. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17 says this, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Well, we need to do that as saved people. We need to be able to be in the battle for the Lord and remember that the battle is His. And as it is His, He has told us as His soldiers how to dress: the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the girdle of truth. The Bible tells us that the truth shall make you free. And we need to be sharing that truth with this unsaved generation that we live in. Of course, Jesus Christ is the truth. There is no other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Well, as we study about Paul, we see that he was a soldier. And we see that Paul gave counsel to a certain young man by the name of Timothy. Now, Paul appealed to Timothy. And as we read this, Timothy was his own son in the ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We too need to endure hardness. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we should never throw in the towel. We should never quit. We should constantly go forward and endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul was one of many martyrs, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Paul was one of many martyrs who laid down the foundations for the church of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered," Paul says, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul was writing this to Timothy. He's writing that to us today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We too need to be ready to be offered. Now, we may never give our lives like Paul did, but we need to be ready at the time of our departure to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May God help us to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Now notice, as we think of people going through certain things in this life, maybe you're going through something right now. But let me remind you that according to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, that the afflicted are blessed. It says, therefore, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you once again that word salvation, he says, to my salvation, that doesn't mean that through the prayers of people that Paul would be saved. No, he's saying because of my salvation and through your prayers, I am able to keep going to do what God wants me to do. Well, there's three phases of salvation. Salvation was mentioned in that verse, Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. First, we see redemption from the guilt and penalty of sin. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We have redemption from the guilt and penalty of sin. And then we see, secondly, sanctification, or growth in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Sanctification is like the polishing of precious jewels for eternity. Once again, on the next to the last page of the Old Testament, God speaks of the redeemed in glory as my jewels. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. We are the children of God according to the Word of God when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And God looks at us as His jewels, and He's going to take care of us. And one day when this old body gives up the breath of life, or Jesus comes back and says, come up hither, whichever comes first, then we need to be ready and say, God, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share the gospel, your gospel, with the lost and dying world that I have just come from and you saved me out of. Thank you, Lord. Well, we also see that the third part of salvation is conformity to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Well, obviously, Paul was not speaking here of the new birth or his ultimate glorification, but of the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had discovered that affliction is not without compensation. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says, of Paul speaking, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And then we continue reading what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. And then Paul goes on. in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Well, Paul had endured many afflictions, but he was confident of his true compensation. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now we need to realize that Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming back for his church. He's going to say, "Come up hither." And Paul the Apostle says, "Not to me only, but also unto all them also that love his appearing." Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking forward to Christ's appearing? Well, Paul the Apostle says that we need to be looking for that appearing. That great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming one day, and he will say, "Come up hither." And then I'm looking forward personally to hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I pray that you're ready to meet him, that you will hear him say, as a Christian, as a saved person, when he comes back for you, I pray that you're waiting for him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, believers can wait for with confidence the providences of God. There's a directive given in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And then we see his disciplinary providences. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." We do something wrong, the Lord lets us know, and he chastens us. And notice his permissive providences. Romans 8, 28, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Believers are counseled to make sure of their relationship to God. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if you are in the faith, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 says that. Don't be worried. Jesus Christ is on the throne. He's taking care of us right now. And one day we will see him personally.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.